Hello, I'm David Pstanski, and this is the review of the Evercade Indie Heroes Collection number 2. So without further ado, let's get into it. One of the highlights of the Evercade over the last year has been the Evercade Game of the Month series, where Blaze have offered a free game to download and play each month. There has been a couple of catches with this though, as the games were only downloadable on the Evercade VS home console, and also if you wanted to download a new game each month, you would lose access to the game that you had downloaded the month before. Fortunately, you can now get the Indie Heroes Collection 2 in cartridge form, which means you get all of the games that were featured as the Game of the Month, and you can play them on any Evercade console, whether you have the original Evercade, the home console Evercade VS, or the fancy new Evercade EXP handheld. I don't have an Evercade EXP because, unfortunately, I'm one of the not-so-lucky ones who ordered the Black Premium EXP, which was stolen by George Clooney and Brad Pitt in the Great Evercade Heist of 2022. I mean, yeah, I'm totally fine with playing it on my original Evercade handheld. That's still good. Thanks, thieves. Hopefully in the near future I'll have my EXP, but for now I have played this mostly on the VS so that I can capture the footage for the review, but I've also given it a go on the original Evercade just to make sure it all works as I'd expect it to, and other than perhaps one or two glitches on one of the games which I'll mention later, it all seems to be working as I'd expect it to. The games featured on this cartridge collection include Tapeworm Disco Puzzle, Nessie the Robot or Nezzy the Robot, Wreck Them Souls Adventure, The Cowlitz Gamers Adventure Trilogy, Grunio Zekra Trilogy, if that's how it's pronounced, Anguna Scourge of the Goblin King, I'm really not doing too well with the pronunciation of these, Ira the Crow Maiden, Beer Slinger, Lunar Journey, Yeah Yeah, Beebis 2, Gelatinous Humanity Loss, and Nyx the Paradox Relic. And what a mouthful they are. Now, much like the first Indie Heroes collection, there is a real mix of games, styles, genres, and some are a lot better than others. Everyone will have their favourites, so let's dig into what I think of each one, and which ones I think are the hits, and which ones I think are the misses here. First up, we have Tapeworm Disco Puzzle, which is a great puzzle game where you have to pick up items and get a worm to go through lots of mazes whilst avoiding obstacles and baddies along the way. From the maker of Flea, which was featured on the first Indie Heroes collection for Evercade, I thought this was an instant hit when I played it when it was the first game of the month. It's not a super long game, and I would have been happy to see it last longer, but I can't fault it for what it is. It really is the standout game in this collection. Next up, we have Nezzy the Robot, or Nessie the Robot, depending really on how you pronounce the NES, as in the Nintendo Entertainment System, because this is a robot based on a NES and was originally called Nezzy the Nez Robot or Nessie the Ness Robot, depending, once again, how you pronounce it. It's a typical NES-style platform adventure game. You jump across gaps and pick up items like rubies and gems, and you shoot baddies. It's a bit like any typical NES Mario kind of adventure-y clone kind of thing. It has a few characters to meet along the way and is a fairly easy game to complete with only the last couple of stages that may give you any real challenge, especially if you're a player used to the old-style NES games. Wreck Them Soul Adventures is a game which will scratch that Zelda-style itch. It's played either from a top-down perspective, like in the original Legend of Zelda, or from a side-scrolling view, more like in Zelda 2, The Adventure of Link. Which, to be fair, Zelda 2 is kind of like a mix between side-scrolling and top-down adventure anyway, but the top-down part of Zelda 2 isn't quite like this, and this is more like the original Legend of Zelda in that regard. And again, it's a bit like Link's Awakening for the Game Boy, where it has stages which are side-scrolling and it has stages which are top-down. This one puts a lot more emphasis on the side-scrolling stages, though. It's not a terribly long game, and whilst fun, it's not a Zelda beta. There really isn't anything in way of puzzles to solve, except for one bit three quarters of the way through the game where you have to work out which direction to go through a desert. And whilst you can get new weapons and items, they mostly just replace the previous weapon to make the old ones obsolete. It's a charming game about an elf, and it's a nice length if you're thinking about taking that long train journey or flight. You could definitely get it completed during that. The Cowlitz Gamers Adventure Trilogy are a collection of three games, which when you think about it, ups the number of games in the cart collection from 12 to 14, so far. The first game has very basic graphics, and sees you control a little blob thing as you do basic platforming to jump, climb ladders, and avoid obstacles whilst collecting things. It's simple and fun, but nothing mind-blowing. It's interesting that you can change the filters on the game to make it look like an old TV, a Game Boy, an NES, or a Virtual Boy. It's also interesting that these are the descriptions given on the game for these visual styles, and actually uses the words Game Boy, NES, Virtual Boy, which is interesting just because Nezzy the NES robot had to have a big red cross to mask that the game was Nezzy the NES robot, and was just renamed Nessie the Robot. I guess that's because you can't really get away with putting the word NES in the title of something. The second adventure in this collection is a lot better visually, and is mostly more of the same with ladders, enemies, and collecting things. These are more based around working out enemy movement patterns and escaping from one screen to get to the next. The third game in the collection of the Cowlitz trilogy is dubbed as The Lost Adventure, and is basically more of the same that the second game is. Again, it's inoffensive, but far from mind-blowing. It's nice to see a bunch of easy-to-get-into platformers in this cartridge collection, as they're easy to pick up and play if you want something just a little bit fun and mindless to jump into for a bit of time here or there. Next up is the Grunio Zerka trilogy. I'm definitely pronouncing it wrong, but whatever. Which is a trilogy which brings the cartridge up to having 16 games in total. The first game of which is just called Grunio Zerka, and it sees you play as a little guinea pig thing that you have to move around the screen as you catch falling carrots of various colours. You have to press a button to change the colour which appears around the mouth of the critter that you play as, and then he can pick up carrots of that colour. It's a game where you go for the high score and build up combo after combo as you pick up more and more carrots. It's fun, inoffensive, but it doesn't feel as fleshed out a fuller game as many in this cartridge collection. The second game in the trilogy is the Great Cavey Rescue, and is a puzzle platformer which kind of reminds me of the game Bill's Tomato Game for the Amiga, if anyone remembers that. That game wasn't a platformer, whereas in this game you do directly control the hamster thing and make him climb and jump, but similar to Bill's Tomato Game, you do choose from a selection of objects to get across the stage. So you choose different coloured shape blocks where you can then climb over them, which you wouldn't have been able to do otherwise. I found that as you get used to the controls, it does get a bit more fun, but it didn't feel quite natural to me to play at the beginning. It may be more fun to play this if you had like a mouse just to drag the things into position, but this one didn't quite do it for me. The third game in this trilogy is a lot more my type of thing, and it changes up the formula once again. It's a kind of puzzle game where you take the rodent, rat, guinea pig, mouse thing that you play as and try to take them across blocks that as you step on and off of them, the blocks disappear. The aim is to make all of the blocks disappear whilst not falling off of them entirely until you get to the level's exit. The levels do get trickier the more you play and provide a fun challenge to work out the best path through each stage. Now I'm going to butcher this one's name again, but Anguna, Scourge of the Goblin King, and it's one of my favourite games in this collection, and along with Requiem is another Zelda-like game. This one is a lot more like A Link to the Past, with a level design halfway between the original NES Zelda game and the Super Nintendo classic. You get items like bows and arrows and dynamite to fight monsters and open up new areas to find secrets. There's some fun bosses to challenge on the game, and the game can be completed in a few hours, and is certainly one I'll be happy to return to again in the future. Definitely recommend. Ira the Crow Maiden is a great looking game in the collection, and is a side-scrolling adventure which, like many of the games in the Indie Heroes Collection 2, isn't huge in length, but will be a game worth repeat plays whenever you want to bung in a cart whilst on a train or whilst waiting at the doctor's. Ira is a likeable character, but her slow pace walk does make the levels drag on a little bit more than what it feels they need to. I get that it's not a super long game, but you do get some fast-paced levels later in the game where you're running along as you're mounted on a big cat thing. But it does show that the game could have been a little bit faster paced, but if you do that, then you'd probably whip through it in about 25 minutes. It's a decent game where you go around platforming, saving dudesels in distress, and trying to avoid baddies while stabbing or swinging axes at them. The game ups the challenge as things go on, and I did end up using the Evercade save state feature a lot towards the end, just so I could see it through. Be a Slinger is a very simple game in which you play as a bartender that, to me, kind of looks like he's wearing an Iron Man helmet. Look at him, you won't be able to unsee that, his face just looks like it's Iron Man. His task here is to serve drinks to his patrons, and as you do this, you have to get them the right drinks within a time limit. You go up to the taps and you get stout or lager or whatever beers that are available, and the characters will come up to the bar and say IPA or stout in a very nice retro style sound clip, which is crackly, but it has a charm to it. You then have to make sure you get the right drink to the right customer, and you have a time limit to be able to serve up the drinks. The challenge very quickly picks up as there are more variety of drinks to have and an ever-increasing number of patrons at the bar. Lunar Journey is the first of two games that look and feel exactly like a game for the original Game Boy. Well, three if you count the first Cowlitz adventure if you use the Game Boy filter on there. Now, to me, this game feels like a Dizzy game. It's like Dizzy in space! You go around the moon as a little space dude and speak to various characters and find lots of situations that require specific items to resolve. You go from one area to the next and you pick up items, which you then backtrack with to where you found that they were needed. It's a short and simple game. As I'm a fan of Dizzy games, I was quite into it, but I can understand that with the Game Boy style graphics and the short length, it may not be a game that is for everyone, and it does truthfully feel a little bit more like filler than a reason to buy this cartridge. Yeah, yeah, Beebis 2 is a simple game which is a bit like the original Mario Brothers game. That's what it reminded me of, in that you play on a single screen and you have to take out all of the bad guys to complete a stage. There is a short time limit where you have to take out all of the bad guys, and at first I was really messing up because there's this annoying eyeball thing which comes up into most levels, and when you kill it, it regenerates, and yet it doesn't take down the kill count that you need to for that level. Once I'd figured that out, I breezed through the game, and from my playthrough, it would seem that there are just 10 stages, and then once you get to stage 11, it is just level 1 again. The colours of this stage do seem to change, but I didn't notice that after a couple of run-throughs of the game that it actually upped the difficulty. So I think you just kind of try to get the highest score that you can, but it is just the same game over and over. I might be wrong about that, but I'd kind of had my fix by the time I'd done it like 2.5-3 times. I didn't like in the game that you couldn't climb back down the ladders that you'd already been up, and you just had to jump off the ledge to climb up again. It felt like they could have put in a way so that you can actually climb the ladders, and that would have made it feel a bit more fun. It was a bit tedious jumping to the bottom of levels again to try to then have to jump back up. It's a fun enough game, but once you've played it through once, you'll probably not spend ages playing it. I really do like the soundtrack of this game, however, as it reminded me of Lemmings, which is just using copyright-free tunes, which you'll recognise and are fun and bouncy. Gelatinous Humanity Lost is another Game Boy style game, and I can be truthful in this, in that if I wasn't reviewing the cart, I probably would have given up on this really fast. The music is tedious, and when you start playing, you're just a blob that rolls around going up and down walls, and you don't really have anything to do. After a few minutes, you do find a power-up which gives you the ability to jump, and it does start to add a bit of life to the game. You'll start to come across some enemies, and you get another upgrade which allows you to hit them and eventually shoot at them. Now, to me, the game should have just started with you having these power-ups, because even if it only takes a few minutes,
the game just doesn't come to life until you have everything that you get by the end. You need all of these power-ups and moves to be able to really have any fun with this. I found the game had some weird loading times, and it actually glitched out on me a few times, so I wasn't super impressed on that front, but I got into it enough by the end. It's probably my least favourite game on this cartridge. Some of the jumps you should be able to take easily just were annoying, and it meant that I ended up using save states just to get through some areas which were frustrating that you couldn't make a simple jump. Fortunately, though, it's another short game, so if you can push yourself to get through it once, you'll be pleased you've done it. Then we have Nyx the Paradox Relic, and it's one of the games I enjoyed most, and it seems to answer the question of what if I combined Metroid with Star Fox? You go around the world as this fox-looking character, kind of looks like Crystal from some of the Star Fox games, and you collect power-ups and shoot bad guys, and there's kind of puzzles to solve in that you need to find certain power-ups to work out how to get through to the next area. It's a fun game, which doesn't take very long, but it was one that, again, I wish there'd been a little bit more to it. The first big boss fight was a little bit of a pain for me until I realised that using the X and Y buttons on my Evercade kind of just worked like turbo buttons, which meant that I could shoot rapidly and then I could breeze through some things. Probably isn't the way that you're supposed to play the game, but it's there and I did it and it was fun. So, in conclusion, this may not be as good as the first Indie Heroes collection, but it is still very good. It's a collection which I really have enjoyed playing. It's interesting, just because of the Game of the Month promotion, I've played most of these games to completion over the last year. There was a couple which I hadn't played, and I have made sure I got to those today, and they have been fun to get into. The ones which I really enjoyed a few months ago, I'm really going to look forward to diving back into again, but they are essentially the same games. I'm sure they're going to be identical to as they were during the Game of the Month promotion. I don't know if there's any glitches, and I'll put into the comments if I do find that there are any. For me, the best games on there were the Zelda-style games like Requiem, the game Nyx and Tapeworm Disco Puzzle, and I did also quite enjoy Nezzy the Robot. I'm glad to have these on cartridges, although there are a couple which I probably won't return to as much, such as Gelatinous or Beer Slinger. If you enjoy checking out a curated list of 8 and 16-bit indie games, this is a great collection for Evercade at a great price. Okay, so that was my review of the Evercade Indie Heroes Collection number 2. I hope you enjoyed the review. I definitely think it's worth checking out if you like indie games or if you just want to try something a bit different. And look, I've got to say at the end here, it's been a few months since I've been able to put so much regular content on my gaming YouTube channel. So apologies about that. Hopefully now I'm going to get loads of stuff coming out. I've got stuff coming up, loads of it for the Evercade. Can't wait to get my hands on the actual Evercade EXP so that I'll be able to retire this one for a little bit. I'll probably use this at times. Probably will do a video comparing the two. Not that anyone else has done one of those already. Like, I definitely will have got in early. Thanks again, thieves. But also check out, there's going to be tons of other stuff. I've got some really fun ideas coming up for things to do on the channel. This is called Geek Battle Gaming, after all. So we're going to have lots of fun stuff. Do check out any of my other YouTube channels. If you like comedy stuff, check out Extreme Improv. If you like just regular geeky kind of stuff, which isn't just gaming related, so like movies and TV shows kind of stuff, do check out Geek Battle. And if you like wrestling, check out the Slam Jam Wrestling channel. And if you're into travel, where are we at? Check out the Jetlagged and Loving It channel. I'll make sure all of the links are in the information below. But until next time, stay safe, always stay extreme, and ciao for now. Boom, and I'm off the air.